Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Studio G and the discussions for women in leadership. We will continue our focus this week on how the styles and principles of an Omega leader can influence leadership. Here in the studio this week, we have Lori Beth Jones, speaker, author of 14 books, and the book leading our discussion today, Jesus CEO. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Representing the business pillar is Vicki Arteaga. Welcome, Vicki.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And Elisa Holston, representing the education pillar. Welcome, Elisa.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Nice to have you all inside on a cold, drizzly, rainy, sunny Southern California.
I don't know about sunny, but we're in Southern California and it's wet and it's windy.
Sandbags everywhere.
What's up with that?
Well, we didn't know that word, you know, comes from the sky. It's kind of interesting, don't you think?
What comes from the sky?
Water.
Water.
Oh, yeah, that's a different perspective.
Yeah.
They say it's all El Nino's fault.
There you go.
That is an interesting perspective. Water comes from the sky.
It's Arizona.
Hmm. So it's not Earth.
Wow.
So let's move right along here.
Yes, let's.
We have a topic tonight around how Jesus beheld those that he was leading and those that he came in contact with in his life and ministry. And we're going to unpack that with Lori Beth, one of her favorite chapters in this book, Jesus CEO. But before we do, we need a definition of what an Omega leader is. Do we have somebody in the room that could define that?
Pick me. The Omega leader is basically a model of leadership based on the model of Jesus, and it combines the idea of the alpha leader, which is the assertive, sometimes type A leader, very directive in his or her approach, and the beta style of leadership, which is more closely associated with women and comes out of kind of the Japanese and Denning and the total quality management, which is a collaborative kind of investment in stakeholders and clients approach to leadership, and it takes the best of both those models and incorporate it into the being of one person, Jesus, and that idea of the Omega leader of learning from Jesus and how he knew when to be the alpha leader and when he knew how to be the beta leader and bring out the best in his followers and keep his eyes on his mission and accomplish his goal.
That was really fast.
She talks fast because her brain works really, really fast.
Wow, he must be fire.
Double fire.
Oh, thank you for pointing that out to us.
Would you like me to repeat it slower?
No. I think people will probably just pause and then back up a little bit and kind of work their way through.
I've been accused of that before. I apologize.
We have a weather forecaster in San Diego that talks just the same thing. Shelly and I will watch him. What did he just say?
Rain. But thank you for volunteering
yes.
the definition. I think it was spot on.
I think I need a tissue.
Not as a fire.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
That's right.
Well, Lori Beth, Jesus beheld them. Kind of start us out tonight and tell us your thoughts about writing around that concept of the Omega leader.
Well, I've often wondered what it was like to have been with Jesus during those times. And when you look at how he impacted people's lives and how he affected them, it often wasn't over long periods of time, you know, that he put them through a master's training course or anything like that. Sometimes he could impact people just in a few minutes of conversation. And in order to do that, I thought, what kind of power would be brought to bear in a 2 to 3 minute conversation that would transform someone's life? And it wasn't a lecture. So as I imagined it, and then I looked at a number of scriptures, you know, he really beheld them. And one of my favorite scriptures was when the young man was asking him, what must I do to, you know, inherit the kingdom and follow you? And Jesus beheld him. And when you look at the word beheld, it means to be and hold. So you be with someone, and then you hold them in a state of unconditional positive regard. which means you don't have an agenda with them. You're really looking at them as if for the first time. And so the thing I liked about that story is that, you know, the young man said, no, I can't do this. That wasn't my favorite part. But he walked away, and it says, and Jesus loved him as he walked away.
Mm-hmm.
So he saw something in him that touched Jesus, even though he didn't sign on for the team that moment. We don't know if he came back later, but he loved him as he walked away. So just in that tiny little story of a chance meeting with someone who walks away after not getting the answer that he wanted, there's the transformational power of the focus of God looking into a human being and having a dialogue, a conversation, not blasting them with, you know, blazing lightning eyes and judgment, but to behold someone. And I've been thinking about that a lot. The woman at the well, he beheld her. Even Peter, you know, I'll follow you anywhere. He beheld him and said, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it says that he didn't need anybody to tell him about the heart of man because he knew what the heart of mankind was like.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's we talk about the spiritual gift of discernment. And discernment sometimes is taught as trying to find the devil. You know, this is from the devil, this is from God. But the spirit of discernment, I think, also is like a sword separating the false impressions we have of someone from the true notion of how God sees them and how God created them. Sometimes I pray just for the day that, Jesus, let me see people as you see them. And I was sharing in Dallas recently with the Proven Way Ministries group that I was watching a man walking his dog in my neighborhood, and it was early morning, and he was ringed with light. The sun was coming up behind him, and he was literally, he had a halo all around him, and I wondered if he even knew that. And C.S. Lewis said, you have never met a mere mortal. So the truth is that we are surrounded by divine beings all the time. But do we behold that?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we see them as chess pieces in our game or annoyances? I think that grandparents are probably better beholders of children than the parents are, because parents are trying to keep them alive, keep them from killing their brothers or sisters, or get the food off of their face. And the grandparents that I know, they just delight in the little fingernails. Or, oh, look at how cute. Look at him kicking that. Well, oh, he's going to fall over. Oh, is that not the cutest thing? That unconditional love of the grandparent, I think, is sometimes a beholding. My friend Linda got me a book for Christmas called Art Journeys of New Mexico Artists. And I just turned the page, and I've always envied artists. My sister's an artist, my mother's an artist, and my niece is an artist, and I'm a writer. As my mother says, I don't do tangible things, but artists are trained to behold the way the light is hitting a rose, or the angle of a reflection on the water. And in the book they said, they were asking the artist, what was your favorite part of this particular painting? And this one guy said, I like the temperature of the white in the drape of the monk's robe. You know, the temperature of a color. Who would think like that?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a learnable skill. I think a lot about Frank Lloyd Wright. He said, you are what you notice, nothing more.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been using that a lot on myself. You know, what am I noticing today? Because that says who I am.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you have some questions. I could go on and on about this, because I think it is really, it's that special bubble that God puts around a person in looking at them and loving them.
It's interesting that you mentioned, this tied to unconditional love. And I think as a leader, I'm in an organization where some of my team members I chose, other of my team members I didn't choose. And I think even given that, sometimes even in a situation where you've chosen your team members, there are times that people are easier to love than others, and unconditional love does not always come easily, especially for a flyer who has her eyes on the prize, who has her eyes on the mission and is wanting to push forward, and sometimes people are obstacles rather than vehicles for that. And so how can a leader overcome and behold those that it may be in a time, or sometimes just there are people that there's not just a real click with.
Mm-hmm.
How can you advise someone like me to behold someone in spite of myself?
Right.
Or in spite of that person?
Right. Well, you use the term unconditional love, and that's for God. I think we can attain unconditional positive regard.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to love someone necessarily
right.
to have positive regard for them. You know, I respect you. You have a place on this planet. You are taking up air.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can just kind of have a mantra that you say to give them respect. Well, I think that it comes from stepping back,
mm-hmm.
breathing, dropping the agenda, and just maybe taking an aerial view of the situation, or instead of looking at them as an opposing force,
mm-hmm.
you might say, you know, what is behind this? Why is this person doing that? What are they really trying to say?
What is their agenda?
Yeah, you know, they're putting up a fuss about that, but is it because they're tired or they're hungry or they're sad or they're lonely? So it's stepping back in a diagnostic, almost a diagnostic mode, and you have to drop your agenda to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always easy. It's an art. It's a martial art.
It sounds like a coaching skill almost. I'm sitting here listening to your description, and I'm thinking about the five essentials of coaching that we teach:
mm-hmm.
curiosity, self-management, listening. Trying to think of the other ones. Reaching the core.
Mm-hmm.
but it really
curiosity, wonder.
Yeah, it really is almost a skill. It's almost like a teachable skill that we haven't learned in kindergarten.
Right.
You know, they say that everything you need to know,
mm-hmm.
you learn in the kindergarten.
Oh, well, we're in a constant reactive mode
mm-hmm.
in society. So I remember that cartoon where someone is running or trying to get you, and somebody puts their hand on their head and just holds them up, you know, and the kids are kicking and screaming and kicking and screaming. And, you know, that's almost that beholding is you put your hand metaphorically on their head and let them kick and scream and just, you know, until they calm down. So it is a skill and it is a discipline. And
it's something you learn.
Yeah.
But could you be more prompt to that it could be more natural depending on your personality, on your profile, on your, or is something that no matter what, you have to learn?
I think we all have to learn it. I don't think any of us elementally are really great listeners. You know, I think waters are more empathic.
Mm-hmm.
Waters are probably better listeners. They are reflective of people. They can lose themselves because of that. But if you had to say, I would say waters are more likely to be able to behold someone than, say, a fire who sees them as fuel.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, and maybe even reversing that, like from the leaders, you know, we kind of, I mean, obviously the waters would be more empathic. Maybe speaking as a fire, I think sometimes I do struggle with beholding, and I imagine earth might struggle with that a little more,
mm-hmm.
digging in the task, you know,
right.
maybe winds are more, being more people-oriented, it's a little more of a natural.
Right.
Skill.
The winds and waters are probably a little bit more likely to do that. And what I teach people, and I learned this somewhere, and I don't remember where, but if you focus on the person's left eye, you don't want to stare at them. But
I'm going to practice that.
Yeah. Instead of, you know, looking at their nose or
mm-hmm.
whatever's going on, if you look into their left eye, they say that the left side is closer to the heart,
mm.
and that eye is closer to the heart, and so you can look into the heart. So I try to do that, not, you know, not as a gimmick, but as a real, it helps
it's
me concentrate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a discipline. So when someone's talking, you know, look into their left eye, and that way it keeps you focused on them instead of the distractions all around.
So I wonder what the reverse is. So we kind of, where I was going to go was with leaders, the elements, you can see that correlation. What about at the receiver's end, the elemental correlation? Are there elements that might resist being beheld, you know, that might resist receiving that unconditional regard? Or
might have a predisposition, you mean? Like thinking, oh, wait a second, this is too intense. It's looking at me like...
Yeah, is there a correlation? Maybe there's not a correlation. I don't know.
Well, people who are constantly throwing up sand or have distracting and destructive behavior are trying to keep you from looking at them because they don't want to look at themselves.
Right.
So if you could pierce that veil and say, I see all this, you know, that you're doing. But the truth is, I see through that to you.
Like in the movie, the 3D movie we just saw,
Avatar.
You know, I see you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That could become a new way of beholding.
Absolutely.
I think that's maybe what they were trying to do were saying in the movie.
I see beyond. I see beyond. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And Jesus was always saying, you know, blessed are those who have eyes to see.
Mm-hmm. I guess I was thinking that a water would probably just... be drawn to that, would want to be beheld, and would be automatically responsive to having been beheld.
Waters are uncomfortable being beheld because they're used to being the beholder.
Okay, so that's exactly what I'm asking.
We teach that in coaching the elements.
Mm-hmm.
So in coaching an element, you'll say, so how are you doing today? Where do you want to go today?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, where would you like to go? You know,
okay.
And so... sometimes it can be a defense mechanism by never putting themselves out there, but always caring about other people.
Okay.
So it's kind of a subtle distinctive, I think.
I read a book about, if you want to be a CEO, and I was trying to think on the title of the book, and I'm sorry I don't have it, but in a few words, what the author did was to interview, I think it was 105 CEOs, and just analyze them, what characteristics do they have in common, and if there were any trends or anything. And what that caught my attention was exactly what you're talking about here. He said that a person that most of the CEOs were able to walk into a room that could be full of people, and if somebody's in front of them, let's say that is a new employee that just joined the company yesterday, might have like a 2-minute conversation, that person might feel like he was the most important person in that room because of the way the president of the company beheld them.
Right. And I think it comes, you see politicians do this, and sometimes they're shaking the hand of one person and looking at the person next to them, so they're working the line.
Right.
You know, that's different than being in the presence of someone who has a genuine interest in you. And that is a learned skill.
I once worked at the Mexican consulate in San Diego, and I had the opportunity to interact with one of the presidents of Mexico. And it really caught my attention that when he was saying goodbye, just about to get into the plane, and we didn't interact with him a lot. However, he remembered the names of 15 people in our team. And he said goodbye by name. And that to me was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I cannot believe he remembered my name.
Right. Well, and that's one of the first things Dale Carnegie, you know, how to win friends and influence people is to remember someone's name and to really focus on them when you meet them. So it's a skill set for leadership. It's a skill set for influence, for salespeople, because most of us do not feel seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we feel invisible. And for a leader to be able to say to someone, I see you. I see beyond your job title. I see beyond what you need to do for me or what I want you to do for me right now. I see beyond that is a yearning of the human heart. And I think that's why Jesus was such a powerful leader. He tapped into that. I mean, not tapped into that. He knew it.
He lived it.
Yeah, he lived it.
As you were speaking, I was reminded of the, I guess this is movie night, Avatar, Invictus.
and Nelson Mandela, and there was a scene where the Afrikaans bodyguard was talking to one of the African bodyguards, security guys, and they were talking about their response to Nelson Mandela, and that Nelson Mandela really saw them as people. And he did the same with the rugby team. He took the time to learn their names. He was memorizing the book so that he could purposely address them by name. But what struck the Afrikaans guard is that he had worked for several other white presidents, and they didn't know his name, much less his likes or his dislikes. And he had mentioned to Nelson Mandela one time that he liked English toffee, and then every time that Nelson Mandela went to England, he brought him English toffee. He obviously beheld him. He saw him. He made a connection with him that won his loyalty in an adverse situation.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, when the odds were against them becoming aligned,
yes.
It was that personal touch that won his trust,
yes.
In spite of the politics and everything else working against them.
Yeah, that's beautifully said.
So we have about 8 minutes. Lori, can you speak specifically into some actions that that women leaders can take in becoming Omega leaders on how behold? How do we behold people?
Well, for one thing, slow down and realize that you're not always rushing from A to Z, but to be in the moment when you're with someone, even if you're, you know, I eat out almost every meal, and so when someone's taking an order from me, am I beholding that person, or am I looking at the menu and then saying, oh, by the way, make sure there's ice and make sure there's this and this and this? So one of it is to slow down and realize that every encounter has the potential to be a divine encounter.
Mm.
And, you know, with the eunuch that they met out in the desert, could have been just someone who was out, you know, passing by, but they made it a divine encounter. The guards that were guarding Paul in prison, he turned that into a divine encounter.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it has helped our company, for example, when we emphasize changing the world one mission at a time and celebrating each person and saying, well, how many teens have been through the program? Yeah, 3,000, 5,000, da-da-da-da-da. It's like the story of one who Ruth was sharing, who was a water, and he said that he didn't have a mission and but he got his element, and then she worked with him, and he said that he wanted to become a sports therapist. And he was in a what they call a NEETS class, which is not in school or training.
Mm-hmm.
And she spent some time with him. She said, well, what's stopping you from doing that? And he says, well, I'm from a single mom. I have five brothers, all from different fathers. I'm biracial. You know, and she drew a wall. We have this in the workbook. And she just took each brick, and every time he named something, she took a brick off and said, okay, what if that wasn't going to stop you? And what if that wasn't going to stop you? And what if that wasn't going to stop you? And so by the time she finished that day, he committed to stay in school, to get back in school, and she checked back with him, and 8 months later, he is still in school. And so I saluted her, and I said, Ruth, you not only worked one mission at a time, but with this young man, you worked one brick at a time.
Yeah.
So whatever group she was in,
mm-hmm.
she beheld that young man brick by brick by brick, and that is what the world needs.
Well, slow down is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
What else can you do? You
may celebrate.
The eye contact.
You know, look into their left eye. Focus on that as if you're looking into their soul. Ask God in the morning when you pray, help me see people as Jesus sees them today. And, you know, Jesus just delighted in people. I think that we forget that. I have a line in the first book I ever did, which is now Grow Something Besides Old, but it said, to shepherd a flock of butterflies, one must stand there in delight.
Mm-hmm.
And really, when you think about Jesus and his prayer in John 17, he loved his people. He delighted in them. He said, I want them to go with me. He didn't say, now, you know, you need to clean up James and John and teach them not to be such sons of thunder. And, you know,
and Judas, Judas
we'll talk about later, and Peter and all those other things. He just said, you know, Daddy, can I have it? Can I have them in the next life? And So to enjoy the people around you, enjoy them, because basically they are God's gift to you, this person in front of you. You are God's gift to me, Vicki.
Mm-hmm.
You are God's gift to me, Alyssa. Shelly, you are certainly God's gift to me and all the work that you do. And do I celebrate that? Or do you say, okay, we got a radio show, are they going to get on time? You know, and it's just like, isn't this great? Here we are in the studio, and it's a rainy, stormy night, and we almost couldn't get on because the phone line was down. And here we are talking into a phone setup, you know, and who knows? Now we've got almost 5,000 listeners, but we're having a good time. We may never see them,
sure.
But this, you know, this is a moment for us to come together and really contemplate Jesus, which I love to do. And, you know, you could just think about Jesus and how he beheld people. Have a conversation at the well with someone today.
I'm thinking about my Fire Earth Once Immortal task list to help me to learn to be held better. So I'm thinking of things that can be done to cause the pause and to cause the focus and be intentional and real. Because I do think it's a practice. It really is a practice. Like a spiritual discipline, maybe.
Yes, yes. They say Dalai Lama is that way too, that he just chuckles and people feel so delighted in his presence. He has learned to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a learnable skill if you really care about people. You don't have to love them. But try to look at them, you know, the earths could say, what did God create in this person that is so foundational to him? The waters automatically want to behold people. The winds could say, not how am I going to entertain this person, but, you know, what is it about this person that is delighting God? That's a question. Every question, here it is, here's your task. Every person that you meet, ask yourself, what is it about this person that delighted God so much that that person was created to meet a need in the heart of God?
Mm. We've got just 1 minute, Lori, if you want to recap for us any final thoughts on the beholding principles.
Well, it really is one of my favorite chapters. It's one of the favorite characteristics of Christ that I think gets overlooked a lot, that, you know, doing good things and, you know, let's go save the world, let's go feed the children, let's go convert people, let's go clean them up or teach them to be more moral or give more, any of those things. And in Song of Solomon, you know, he just says, I want to be with you. I just want to be with you. And I'm reminded when I was a lifeguard at the YMCA, and I was trying to be very strict because the kids just tickled me constantly, and so I had them all line up before the class started, and they were all sitting there. They were like tadpoles, and so they were 4 and 5 years old. And one of the girls, a little girl, she just got up, and she just walked slowly, slowly in her little skinny bathing suit and climbed up in my lap. I was sitting there with my lifeguard hat on and my lifeguard whistle, and she just wrapped her arms around my neck, you know, and it was just so, so cute, and that delighted me. And so think about Jesus that way, you know, maybe just go get in his lap. He wants to behold you today and tonight. So blessings to you all and much love.